Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host and my guest today from Grafton, Illinois, Mayor Mike Morrow. Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
Should I call you Mayor or Mike?
Which either, one? Either one.
Mayor Mike.
There you go. Combine them both.
So, you've been busy lately.
We've been very busy here in Grafton lately. A lot of good things going on.
Now, how long have you been mayor?
Since 2021.
21.
So I'm in my second term. I finished up the first year of my second term this May.
Now, where are you from originally?
Originally born in Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Yep.
How'd you get down
automotive
here?
Industry. Well, a long time, but
I know you're a veteran.
Joined the military. Well, I traveled the world for 33 years and then did consulting. And then I ended up doing, I was president of an aviation manufacturing company, South Carolina here, and also here in Illinois. And ended up meeting my wife-to-be in the Grafton Towboat Festival way back when it was, when I first started permitting that, so.
When you first started what?
I was the district engineer here. I permitted the towboat festival.
You permitted it, and she was there.
She was there working at the towboat festival, and we happened to meet, and the rest was history.
Just hit it off right off the bat.
Yes. Well, yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay. So we got the ferry going.
We did.
Yeah.
That was one of my campaign promises back in 21, but like I tell people, little did I realize it was going to take 5 years to get it accomplished.
Yeah, it was a campaign promise. It's going to take a couple campaigns.
Yeah, that's right. So it's the second campaign. But we had everything that we needed here recently because we had all the people that were working together. George Andres, who was the worked on the Kaskaskia River and also the Mississippi River 45 years, he moved to Grafton. I worked with him when I was with the Corps, and he headed up the task force for the ferry. And we had folks from Illinois and Missouri, both representatives and so forth from both sides, worked with MoDOT, and IDOT has been fantastic with us, I've got to say, when they pulled together this program to help us. We applied for a grant from IDOT to get $250,000, which we got 2 years ago. We used that money to hire a ferry company out of Washington State, and they conducted a survey of the area on all the ferries. And then we used that data to apply for the grant that we got for $1.458 million from IDOT for the ferry operation that we have now.
What do you suppose, why the ferries didn't work? We've had one other ferry in Grafton.
We had ferries. I mean, you go back through history, you can see, I've seen pictures of horses on ferries and so forth. One simple word, economics.
Yeah. You got to get some traffic.
Got to get some traffic. You got to get the people in there. And the company that did the survey for us showed that there's the traffic that's out there regionally, and especially today with the Missouri region, the Illinois region, everything's hot. Everybody wants to get across the river to the big box stores over in Missouri. They've got jobs and so forth. But getting there, they've got to go around the Great River Route and cross the bridge and, you know, it takes quite a while. Time is one of the big things I keep hearing.
Yes, my daughter lives in St. Charles, and I've drove over there a few times to see her. She drives more over here to see us, but that drive on the interstate and getting over there,
it's tough.
It's nerve-wracking.
Depending what day you go, what time you go. But the ferry, I mean, now we operate 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We kick off at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we stop at 9 o'clock at night on Monday through Thursday. And we stay open on the weekends for the tourists up till 10 o'clock, still opening at 5. Sundays, I think it's 8 o'clock to something like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you know, the cool thing, too, is the fact that if you don't make it, you know, if you happen to spend too much time, well, you can drive around. You know, everybody's been doing it. But how much time are we cutting off the trip?
Average I've heard from people when they started this just this last Friday is over 30 minutes per trip. When you look at, and the one is 30 minutes per trip to go over to Missouri that they're saving, and then upwards of 30 to 50 miles.
And also, it's such a nice drive. You know, what a nice drive versus the interstate over in St. Louis.
I mean,
that's hectic.
Yes.
Yeah. So a nice, pleasant drive over, a nice, either way you go. It's a nice, right, pleasant drive. Yeah. How big is this going to be for Grafton?
This is going to be a game changer, not just for Grafton.
I mean, Grafton's already busy as can be.
It is, but it's also, this is a game changer for the region, not just Grafton. Because when you start looking at all the things that are going on in Grafton and up in Jerseyville and all the things that we want to do, opening up the ferry opens up that corridor directly over to Missouri. And the time that is saved, you know, tourism coming in on the weekends, this will open up weekday tourism, people planning trips. We've opened up now where before you couldn't get to use credit cards on the boat. Now you can. You can buy your tickets on the boat with a credit card. And we're also, and they also have, you know, the same as cash or check. So it's a game changer. We're already seeing traffic coming from the first day we saw the Coca-Cola big truck come across, and there we go. Okay. Agriculture is another one where during the harvest and the planting season, we've already had a lot of ammonious wagons crossing over to the river, and they all said this is at the right time.
I just remember, and still I'm sure it still goes on, a lot of the folks that live in Calhoun, you know, right, catch that ferry over in that direction, and they work in the city, you know, yes, a lot of carpenters, laborers, etc.
This will open up a lot of jobs in Grafton also for those people wanting from Calhoun and other places to come over to get a job in our tourism industry, and also vice versa, going back over to places like Amazon.
I see, yes. So it's nice that you've been working on these grants for a while.
We have. You know, one of the things, Grafton, everybody says we're loaded, but, you know, we have a very, very small budget. And but we stretch it far, and we do that with applying for grants.
And you said it opens at 5, so you have people that could get a job. You know, that's basically an hour off their drive.
Right.
You know, they could get a job over in the Missouri.
I've had one gentleman call me. He went in on Friday. We opened it Friday, but we had the ribbon cutting at 10. And he said he no longer has to get up at 4:45. Now he can get up at 6 o'clock like regular folks and just, you know, get over to his job.
Yeah. What's the trip? How long to get from one side to the other?
10 minutes. 20 minutes round trip.
I see.
And we're putting in cameras on either side so that the folks in the ferry during the day, you know, during what we found out is on the weekend, they're back and forth constantly because there's people there. But on the daytime and in the morning, same thing. I asked, yesterday was the first day of commuting. I asked her, we were on Channel 5 today at 10 o'clock for a live shot on a ferry. And I asked Denise, I said, how many commuters did we get the first day? And she said, over 30, which is great.
Yeah.
The numbers, and I tell people, either use it or lose it. So we get those numbers that are up there that will help support that ferry.
How long do you think it'll take before the ferry will be self-sufficient, profitable?
Well, that's a good question. I'm hoping it'll be 2 years. I'm hoping less, because right now we've got operational supplemental funds from IDOT, about $500,000 that we got set aside that we can use to help supplement the cost of putting in equipment like the cameras and so forth, and paying for fuel and so on. And the grants that we're getting, before the Calhoun Ferry Company couldn't apply for all the grants because, number one, they weren't big enough, didn't have the deep pockets. We don't have deep pockets either. But what it does is that a government entity such as the city in private partnership with a private company, now that opens up grants.
Ah.
For example, now we're getting $44,000 from the Ferry Fund Grant Federal, which is going to be coming in to help pay for fuel for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And every year as the ridership goes up, that money goes up. So it's important to ride the ferry. We can get supplemental money to come in. And what that does is helps keeps the prices steady.
And you're going to run through the winter.
Yes, run through the winter. And that'll be a real trip this winter to see how that goes, because this will be the first time that we're really looking to build that commuter base. We want people to rely on this to get to their jobs. So it's not just going to be for when the weather's fair, but also when the weather's bad.
I see. How about the pricing? What's the pricing?
$10 for a one-way trip, $19 for a round trip. And if you want to be smart and be like a commuter or a Grafton resident, you can buy a book of 10 for $70. That's $30 off the normal $100 price. Gives you 3 free tickets.
Fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah, that's great. So it's rolling and going great. And how about the... Memorial you've been working on?
Well, the Grafton Memorial has been going too. And I mean, it's like people say, I don't really see a lot going on. Well, we have the top cleared. We have all the power lines buried. We've got, there's been a lot of prep work, but the real work's been going on in South Carolina. And the great news is that this, about 2 weeks ago, they finished all 12 statues.
Hey, give a brief for those that maybe not know about the memorial. What that memorial is going to be, what it's all
about. The Grafton Memorial is going to replicate the climb at Point Du Hoc on D-Day, 1944, on Omaha Beach. And we're going to replicate the climb that the Rangers climbed at Point Du Hoc, taking out the German guns up on top. So we're going to have 12 life-size bronze statues replicating that climb on the cliffs at the visitor center, climbing to the top of the cliff where there's going to be a replicated bunker with a German soldier. And we'll have a beautiful area below. We'll have our Wall of Valor start. And so it's going to be wonderful. And that's going to be phase one.
Okay. What's phase two?
Phase two will be finishing up some of the parking areas and so on. We had to cut back because of the increase in pricing. And then also finishing up and doing the museum.
What kind of a tourist attraction is that going to be?
This is going to be an international. We're already tied in with France over there in Normandy, and with D-Day, we've got a couple of commissioners that are working over there with us, and we expect to see quite a lot of traffic. And what this will end up doing with the ferry opening and so forth back and forth, the two of those are going to be a powerhouse, drawing tourists into the area, helping local businesses and jobs thrive.
Yes. And that's going to be open all year long.
That'll be
right?
Open all year long too. Yes.
Yeah. How many people will the city run that? Or you?
No, the National Memorial Military Ascent will run it, and it's going to be for the city of Grafton. So I mean, Grafton will have a partnership with which we already do with Grafton because they have their visitor center and their museum, and ours will be right next to it, attached to it. So we'll work in conjunction with that as far as maintenance, upkeep, and so on. But the actual memorial itself, the National Memorial will care for that.
Hey, what's the story behind this National Memorial? Who came up with it? I mean, how did it come about?
Well, it came about when Lynn and I, my wife, have been to D-Day in France, Normandy, for three visits. And the last time we were over there, you know, all three visits, we went to Omaha Beach, particularly, and Point Du Hoc, and visited. And when we came back, it was 2019, we were driving down a river road, and we were talking about our trip, and she looked up at the cliffs, and she says, "Oh, look, Point Du Hoc." And I says, "Yeah, how about that?" So that stayed in my mind. And then when I became mayor in 2021, I ran on, you know, three promises. One, I would see if we could get the ferry run full time. Two is that we would honor our veterans with some type of way to honor those, which we're doing now. And three was, I'll do all this and not take a salary. And I still don't take a salary for the city.
How about you?
I tell you what. I turn that back to the city, or I give a check every now and then to somebody that needs it. So,
well, that's very kind of you.
And, I've been blessed, and you know, it's one of those that when you can help out, you're supposed to help out.
Yes. At what point did you think, I think I want to run for mayor of Jerseyville? What happened? Or Grafton?
We're sitting in Jerseyville. I ran for Grafton.
How'd that happen?
Well, it happened twice because, you know, I ran one time and I didn't make it. And, of course, I didn't really put a lot into it. And then Richard Mosby, former mayor, came to me and says, "Hey, we got a bunch of people who want you to run. Try it again." And I wasn't going to do it. I said, I've had enough of that. And but anyway, we did. And they said that they were going to help out and push the campaign forward. So we did. And it worked out well.
Did you win by a landslide second time?
Gosh, I can't remember.
I mean, how many voters are in Grafton?
At that point we had, I think there was like 400 or 400. Something like that.
Yeah.
Because we had 650, but, you know, not all of those are voter or even live there. So, you know.
So Grafton, I mean, it seems like it continues to do well. Does it increase every year, or have you had some leveling off with Grafton as far as the tourism?
No, the tourism continues to grow. And, you know, one of Grafton's problems is the geographical area as far as FEMA and buyout properties and so forth. If we could expand back into those areas, we'd be, you know, the sky's the limit. But we are handcuffed because we cannot go back to an area that was already purchased out under the FEMA flood rules and then do something with it other than maintain it as a green space or let somebody adopt a lot, you know, as part of their home or something, not to build on it, but just to, you know, work with.
I see. So the expansion is limited.
Expansion is very limited. You know, limited homes, that type of thing. But from what we've got, we've got a lot of businesses opened up and a lot of guest houses.
Yeah, and you got people building on the hill.
Yes.
Hills.
Oh, yeah.
You got plenty
up
of
there,
hills.
After we sold all the lots up in Grafton Hills and going great guns.
Great. Now, you had mentioned, we had talked a little bit before we came on the air, what you got going on might really help as far as riverboat tourism.
Well, you know, when we think about it, you know, you're looking at Viking cruises and so forth are coming down a river. They pop up into Alton. And what happens, they'll get on a tour bus and pop up this way to visit things this now. If they don't add Grafton to the stops, they'd be foolish not to. But if they don't, then they'll still be in Alton. It gives them a tour then to come up to where the memorial will be. They can stop or up to where, you know, you've got the Aries area down there with the gondola and so forth, all of our shopping and that and in our restaurants. So it opens up an opportunity for them to add another stop on their agendas.
Okay. Sounds like me, though, all this going on, Grafton does need to expand a little bit. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, that's a question for down the road and a question for, you know, the only way you can expand is by annexation. So, you know, that's one of those, if you wanted to expand up in the upper area on Route 3 as it heads on in or if there's something else, but or out to the west or east is the memorial. So we're very kind of limited in that area, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, maybe it's time for some of the other cities close by in Jersey County and on down in Calhoun to kind of start thinking about some tourism too, because you get so many people into Grafton at certain times, like, you know, like, okay, well, let's go on to another place.
Well, one of the, exactly right. And one of the things I know 2 years ago when I briefed this to the Jersey County Board, Mark Wagner was sitting there and I got done briefing the memorial and they were all just sitting there kind of like thinking, and he says, we're going to need more hotels.
Yeah.
Very, very prophetic words there. So exactly, and just as Grafton is, we've got a lot of guest house industry and so forth, but we will need more overnight stays if we, because right now, 6 June, which we haven't talked yet, is the big dedication for phase one. And
let's talk about it.
We're getting ready. You know, we've got a lot of rooms blocked and so forth, people coming in, traveling from all over the country to see this big dedication. We have the a guest speaker.
June 6th.
June 6th. It's a Saturday. That's D-Day. Mm-hmm. The dedication will take place at 9:30 in the morning at the visitor center location right there. And the first 2 weeks of May, that, you know, I was looking at the calendar, Chris, that's just 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
The statues will be coming here to be mounted. So they'll be finished and mounted by the middle of May up on the wall. So as you're driving by, you know, don't hit your car buddy in front of you as you're looking at them, but they will be mounted. 6 June, we're going to dedicate them. We've got the Deputy Transcom Commander, Lieutenant General Helwig, coming out to help dedicate the process. We've also invited the governor, and we've also invited the President of the United States.
Oh, that'd be great.
I understand he's busy, so so it's one of those that we'll see what happens as it comes out. But it's going to be a very, very exciting time.
Yes, and basically, for example, like the memorial, how did you pay for that?
Private donations.
Okay, because I was thinking, you don't have a lot to sell there, right?
No.
Private donations.
Private donations. And what we're doing is to sustain the memorial. We've got things that are called the founding members and sustaining members. And for $1,000, they get their name or their loved one's name on the Wall of Valor, which starts at the cliff with where the statues are located. And then it's going to go out and expand around the museum area and so forth. And those continuing donations as they come in will help to pay and sustain the memorial.
I see.
And we're looking for big bucks right now to finish up the museum. I mean, with everything that's cost, you know, the museum, we were looking at $4 million. Now we're looking at $5 million. So, you know, unless prices come back down and so forth. Yeah. But we're out there hitting the big company. So if you're a large organization out there and you got all this money looking for someplace to drop it for a good cause,
give me a call.
Give me or give Chris a call.
Well, hey, we've covered a lot of territory. We have. So is there anything else, anything we've missed?
No, I'm very excited about this year coming up, not just for Grafton, but for this entire region. I mean, you've got the Route 66 festival that's coming up, which is going to pull people up here for tourism. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of sites that are opening up, you know, along the area, the memorial. The Raging Rivers is building up a whole brand new area of camping, 60 camping sites. Go take a look at their website. I looked at it the other day. I was flabbergasted at all the things that are going to be going on down there, from camping to miniature golf to axe throwing. It sounds like the place to be. And then you've got, you know, Aries, which they've opened up their gondola ride again up on the top, and a mm-hmm. lot of different things. New ownership at the marina. The marina ship was sold,
really?
And has been bought by a firm out of Texas. And they're putting in a lot of money, brand new slips, brand new coverings, and they're just doing a lot. So with the ferry, it's going to be the place to go. We've also had a lot of great restaurants open up this year.
Yes.
And last year.
I have a question.
Yep.
To the surrounding small towns around Grafton.
Yes.
What would you suggest they should be thinking about to take over the overflow?
Maybe you just Setsa, maybe what we need to do, Chris, is to pull together a meeting at some point this summer with all of the surrounding small communities, their leadership, and just have a, like we did with the ferry committee, and sit down and talk about it and say, what do you think that we need, and how can we best pull our thoughts together to look for grants to help this community, not just Grafton, but the entire region?
Right, because you know, there's times when Grafton's so busy,
yep.
you know, people come to it and they make the trip all the way over. And they're like, you know, I mean, if it's just wall to wall, you don't want to go home, but you want to go somewhere.
No, you want to go up the river. You want to go up to Hardin. You want to go across the river. You want to go.
And you have an experience and, you know, you have a good experience and you talk about it. Next thing you know, not that I won't see Grafton bypass, but that's the way you really build.
Exactly.
You build it, because then you have, like you say, a whole region where you go, well, let's go to Jerseyville, let's go to Hardin.
We are being bypassed. If you think about it, we get over 20,000 cars coming in on a Sunday in the fall. They're not all stopping in Grafton. They're going up to Hardin, they're all driving through, and they're not stopping everywhere. They're making that nice route. So if we have some attractions elsewhere, which they do, everyone does, but we can draw them in, and then areas where these folks can spend the evenings on the weekends type of thing. So there might be something worthwhile pulling together all this leadership and just having a chat.
You know, bed and breakfasts, you know, B&Bs. I think some people could do some good with that, you know, because whenever we went to Ireland, there mm-hmm. was no big hotels. It was all B&Bs, you know, and B&Bs are good.
They
like them.
Bed and breakfast, true bed and breakfasts are good. We have one in Grafton, which is the Terra Point, because they actually serve breakfast mm-hmm. and the leadership or the owners do stay on site. So that's the definition. Everybody else is either a guest house or a VRBO or overnight stay.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what I was thinking, VRBO.
Right. So and those are great. But then again, you get a problem, too, is if you have too many VRBROs and you turn your whole town into that, now you lose your population. This has happened up in Michigan in the industry up there, where in Glen Arbor they had so many VRBO sites that they put out, they didn't have room for the people that were working to come up there to get jobs. So I hate to tell you what they're charging just to clean and overturn rooms.
Well, Mayor, we've come to the end of this. We've ran out of time. We're going to close out here, but thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome, Chris. And, always good to chat with you.
Yes, and best of luck. It's going to be exciting times in Grafton.
It's going to be a very busy summer, but we're looking forward to it. Look forward to seeing everybody in Grafton and in Jersey County.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Chris.